Last week, we actually started this little two-part series called Find Home Here, and we had these four chairs. So if you weren't with us, I'm going to recap, all right, for us. Are we good? Is everyone ready? All right. All right, let's do this. So we had these four chairs up here, and they weren't just so that I, you know, in case I get tired, I just want to sit down. They actually represented something that each of us in the room are in one of these chairs, okay? That's what we were saying last week. Chair number one, this is the chair of surrender. This is a person who's totally in love with Jesus, and man, people do crazy things when they're in love, right? They are totally surrendered, all in. It's all about Jesus. This is chair number one, right? This is the chair we want everyone to be in. Wherever you are on your journey, this is where we want you to be. This is chair number two. Chair number two is the self chair. It's all about self. It's me, my selfie, and I, right? It's all about you. You follow your direction, your wants, your desires. It's all about yourself, right? That's what this chair is all about. Chair number three was what we call the spiritual or religion chair. This is the person, may have grown up in church, maybe you didn't, but this is a person that kind of over time you've gotten used to God. And really it's become more of a rules-based thing for you and not a grace-based thing for you. So it's not about relationship, it's about really a religion. And that's what this chair was. And then this chair number four, represented the chair of shame. This is really, for many of us, we get locked in this chair right here. And really it's all about the shame of our past and that it doesn't allow us to move forward. And people in our culture today are so many of us are locked right here in chair number four, the chair of shame. And again, ultimately, we're saying, man, we want everyone to move to chair number one. And let me just say this. I didn't really mention this last week, but this process is a daily process. That there has to be a daily choice of being in chair number one. It's so easy for us to fall in any of these other chairs, right? To just, man, just a day passes, a week passes, and now you're back in this chair. Or all of a sudden, an event happens, and man, you fall back in that shame mentality. So it is a daily choice for us to move and to say, you wake up every morning and say, today I surrender it all to you, Lord, right? It's a daily process. And so we have to understand that walking with Jesus, this relationship with Jesus is intentional, not accidental. It's intentional, it's not accidental. Let me say it this way. If you want to have a healthy spiritual life, a healthy relationship with Jesus, you can catch sickness, but you can't catch health. You realize that? You can catch sickness a lot of the times, right? But you can't catch health. You have to be intentional about your health. And the same is true with your relationship with Jesus. It's intentional, a daily choice. And so the chair number one is a daily choice to surrender to Jesus. And chair number one, people, let me just say this. Chair number one is the person, one of the things that they do is serve. This person doesn't just talk about serving. This person, listen, doesn't just say, man, we really need a lot of people in the, you know, this area or that area of the church. No. They jump at the opportunity. The surrendered person, it's not about them. They are serving others, and they understand serving others and helping others. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today and really what it means to serve, because the reality is surrendered people serve people. Surrendered people serve people. And this is what the church is all about. People who have surrendered to Jesus, they don't come to church. Listen, they are the church. They don't go, hey, I'm going to church today. No. They are the church wherever they are, wherever they're at. They are being the church. And you know these people because they're serving you often. They're calling you. They're praying for you. Surrendered people serve people. So some 20 years ago, I was in high school, and I went on a trip with a youth group at the church in Southern California. We drove up to Mammoth. You guys been to Mammoth? Mammoth's a good place, right? And we were going on this snowboarding trip. I was snowboarding in high school, And I remember going on this trip with a youth group. I invited a friend. And let me just say, I'm going to say it this way. I'm going to be polite. I'm just going to say, When I was in high school, I lived in chair number two. All right? It was all about self. It was all about my wants and desires and fun and all that. I invited a friend. This is a church youth group event and trip, okay? I was in chair number two. And we had a great time. I had never seen snow up until this point in my life. I'd never seen snow. I'd never gone anywhere and seen snow. This is the first attempt at like snowboarding and snow. They pulled over at one point because I saw snow on the side of the road as we were getting closer to the mountain. I'm like, what is this? What is this? Is this Narnia? This is crazy. So I was just like, oh, everything was so great. I had a great time. I learned how to snowboard. Went up and down the mountain several times. We were there for a few days. And there was a leader in our youth group. His name was Mark. And Mark was one of those leaders that, man, you just loved being around Mark. He loved having fun, loved hanging out. Man, just a pretty cool guy. And as a high school student, he was just kind of that guy you just wanted to always hang out with, right? And so Mark was there, and man, he was just so cool. He was fun. He took us up the mountain, showed us how to do some of this stuff and snowboard and had a ton of fun. Well, again, I'm on this trip and have a friend of mine, and again, I'm living in chair number two. And for some reason, we find like this little like store and a convenience store, and what we found in the store was odorless, colorless, tasteless X-Lax. Why would they make that? No. We see this. I'm in high school, living in chair number two. You adding this up, right? Let's get it. So we buy it. And I go, and I was I've always kind of been a strategist kind of mindset. I like to try to strategize and plan and all that. So in my head, I'm strategizing how we're going to use this. I'm on a church youth group, okay? What I decide to do and strategize with my friend is tonight, that night, during prayer, we are going to pour this into the punch. See, listen, if God can forgive me, he can forgive you. This is during prayer, people. So I'm taking advantage of a spiritual moment in everyone else's life. And all of a sudden, while everyone says, let's bow our heads, and our youth pastor was a very spiritual, long-winded prayer guy, I'm like, dude, we got like 10 minutes, you know? So I'm like, wow. So all of a sudden, I go to attempt to do this, and Mark catches us. Well, as fun as Mark was, listen, Mark was also someone who was willing to confront us. He's willing to love and to serve us. And here's the incredible story. Mark, last name is Madouse, and he attends this church. He moved from San Diego to Reno a few years ago when I joined the church. I'm like, Mark? He goes, Miguel! And now his daughter babysits my kids. Guys, God is, what? Okay, yeah. Here's the thing, guys, listen. When it comes to serving, we need guys like Mark. We need other people because the church is not just a building you come and sit in. It's a movement that you choose to be a part of. The church is not a building you come and sit in. We have to understand that. That's brick and mortar. It's not just this building you come and sit in. That's not it. Let's take that out of our minds. It's not a building you come and sit in. It is a movement that you choose to be a part of. But when I say the word serve, there are things that we start to think about. Serving in our culture is actually not very attractive. It kind of makes us feel uncomfortable. For someone, when I say the word serve, what comes to mind is like, oh, sounds like a drag. I don't know if I can. What time do you want me to show up? Yeah, I can't do that. I can't do that, right? Or it feels like it's hard and it's not very appealing to us. And you can actually go into some theology with this. And in theology, there's something called the noetic effect. It's the effect that sin has on our mind and our intellect and our will. And so when we hear the words like serve or give, there's a part of us that kind of cringes. We're like, oh. Okay, so what ends up happening, this is kind of a normal rhythm for people. What ends up happening is you hear a preacher or pastor and they say, hey, serving's good. Serving ought to be the things that we do. And so we get all kind of fired up about serving. And so we have this guilt that ends up happening, right? I don't know if you felt this. I have felt this before and grown up in church. I'm like, okay, I guess I have to serve. It's the thing I'm supposed to do. And so many of us will start serving out of guilt. So you sign up for the first thing that comes to mind. Kids ministry. So you go, you know, you start to sign up, you know, I'm just going to serve in the babies, you know, department. I'm going to change diapers or something. And you start to serve in some part of the church, right? And then week after week, you start to kind of feel like, man, all right, I guess I said I would do it, so I guess I got to do it. And you kind of have to like give yourself like these prep talks, you know, and you like wake up, you're like, I got to pump up, or I got to do it. I need some coffee first. And is there going to be coffee there? Is there a coffee? I got a problem, you know. And then, and it's how early do I have to arrive? And you start to do this week after week, and eventually you go, oh, I don't know if I can serve anymore. You know, I don't know if that's something. And this is kind of a rhythm. This is a rhythm for so many churches all over the country and around the world, is people connecting and serving in the church is difficult. But there are other places in the world that you read about that all of a sudden they're like, how long are their services? How early? They're being persecuted for what? And it's just this mindset that we have in Western culture, in America, when it comes to serving, it doesn't really carry a good message. And my hope today is I can kind of help bring something new to the thought of serving. Because when it comes to serving, there's this tension about people over preferences. It's people over our preferences. And this tension, listen, all of us deal with this. All of us kind of walk through this. And for a lot of us, when we come to serve, we think about, listen, we think about what serving is. That is, stacking a chair, arriving early, waving at people, talking to people. I don't know if I could do that, right? Like, all those kinds of things, right? That's what serving is. Listen, when we really don't understand what serving does. What serving does to us and to others. We focus on what serving is versus on what serving does. I have to wear a what? I've got to wear a t-shirt that says home on it. What? That's, doesn't go with my pants, man. I'm not kidding. That's a conversation that happens, right? So again, what it is versus what it does. 1 Peter 4:10, it's not on the screen. Let me just read it. It says this, God has given each of you a gift. Did you know that? You have a gift. God has given each of you a gift from his variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. And there's so many places in Scripture, in the New Testament especially, where it talks about the body of Christ, that we are to help one another and serve one another. In fact, Jesus said that people will know you by how you love one another. How do we do that? By serving. Loving people, we do that through the avenue of serving. Jesus said, this is how people will know. But I get it because I get into these conversations and these and people that say, hey, well, Miguel, do you really need, they use the word need, do you really need me? And let's be, come on, we all want to feel needed. I want to feel needed. Like, I like how that feels, right? We all want to be at that point where it's like, do you need me? And if you don't need me, then I don't need to serve. And do you hear the language? It's a lot of that, but let me just help us all. There might be needs in a church. There might be needs in a community, but listen, when it comes to serving, you are not just filling a need, you are joining a community. When it comes to serving, you got to hear this, you are not just filling a need, you are joining a community. You are joining people. And let me just talk about community for a second, okay? I could probably spend the rest of the time talking about this, but when it comes to community or relationships or connecting with people, community has kind of evolved over the years and over the generations. Actually, let me just say this. The word friend has changed over time. The word friend used to mean like we did life together in person. Like you're actually there, right? Versus, right? A friend being someone who you might not even know, or you may not have even met before, but they like and comment on all your posts, and you have such deep relationships. Right? I mean, the word friend has kind of changed. It carries a different message now. So now listen, we are living for our likes, but we are longing for love and connection and community. Community, listen, is the very thing that every soul is needing, but listen, very few people are actually pursuing. We are more connected online, more connected digitally, more connected than ever before. But you know as well as I do, but we are feeling more alone than ever before. And so when we don't serve, listen to this, when we don't serve, and we're not in this community of believers or this community of people helping other people, when we're not serving, we are sacrificing something authentic for something artificial. Because you and I know we don't connect through texts, we connect through tears. And what this generation is becoming is more and more artificial, when we really need authenticity and community. And although, listen, I've seen the advancements in technology, and we benefit from those in many ways, and the world has grown in this way, we have become more isolated than ever before. We are more alone and by ourselves than ever before. And let me just tell you, Satan desires us to be isolated, to be all by ourselves, making us feel like no one else cares, no one else understands. I'm all alone in my world. There's no way anyone can understand where I'm at. We are isolated. And let me just help you. The reason why Satan wants us isolated, not connected, not serving, is because isolation comes before destruction. Do you understand? Isolation comes right before destruction. Before anything is about to be destroyed, it will be isolated first. It will isolate you in any kind of relationship, small group, community. Doesn't matter where you are in your life. Isolation is the last step before destruction. Brené Brown has done a pretty big TED Talk. She's also a research professor at the University of Houston and is considered by many a leading expert in this kind of field. Relationships, connection, community, all those things. Here's what she says. She says, in the absence of connection, love, and belonging, there's always suffering. I'm just going to venture to say that statistically speaking, many of us are absent of connection, love, and belonging. And you might not show it on your face, but you're suffering. You're going through this, and you don't know what's going on, and you feel something, and you're suffering through this. This was not what God wanted at all. In fact, Jesus often talked about serving. Serving is the way that, listen, we join a community, and we are connected through people, and it is all to the glory of God. But Jesus talked a lot about serving and being in community. In fact, he himself came to be served. It is the very reason he came. Let me read the verse, Matthew 20:28. For even the Son of Man, he's referring to himself, the Son of Man came not to be served. If anyone had an excuse to be served, it was God, okay? But he didn't come that for that reason. He says, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. He says, whatever you do, in another place, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. Whatever you do for the least of these, those who are lost, hurting, broken, you do for me. And listen, you're joining a community. You're not just filling a need, no. You're joining a community. And Jesus came to serve, not to be served. Listen, this is the very essence of the Christian life. The first chair surrendered person to Jesus. This is the very core of their lifestyle. So let me say it this way. You are never more like Jesus than when you give and serve. You are never more like Jesus than when you give and serve, period, the end. Not your knowledge, not your Greek dictionary, not your great accomplishments. No, all those things are wonderful and great and good. But listen, you are never more like Jesus than when you give and serve. He said it himself. So throughout the year, I get the opportunity sometimes to travel and get to speak at places, and it's great, it's fun. And sometimes when I travel, I'll go through the airports, and I don't know if you've ever seen in the airports, you know, the airlines have like their own club, you know what I'm saying? These little like club, secret club rooms. So I'm like walking down, you know, in the airport with my little economy ticket, and it's cool, you know, praise the Lord. But I've never been in there. I've never been in the club. And I just have this feeling. I walk by, I'm like, I want to be a part of the Delta Club. Like, you know, I'm feeling alone right now, right? And so I'll walk past it, and it's like, you know, it's like these, like, you know, like foggy doors. You know, you can't really see through them. It's like these hazy doors. And it's like this secret room. And so I walk past, I'm like, what is that? What's it? You know, they're going, I'm sure I can go in. I just haven't done it, right? But they go in there. There's a special experience for these people. There's this, like, club lounge. And there's beautiful furniture, and there's food, and you know, complimentary apples in a basket or something. I don't know. But it's awesome. And then like, you get on the plane. Have you ever done this? You get on the plane holding your economy ticket, and you're praising the Lord for that. God bless that. Okay? And the first chairs you walk past is the first class section of chairs. And I don't know if you've been like me, but you walk past those chairs, and you kind of just naturally start to think, wow, those are really big chairs. Look at all the room. How spacious. And see how they've strategically placed a folded little blanket? Wow. Wow. Yeah, keep going. I got it. All right. You know. So I go all the way to the back of the plane, right? Back of the plane. And there was one time in particular, you know, halfway through the plane, you know, the trip, they give the first class like a moist towelette. You know, like, I just like saying that, you know? And so in the middle of the plane, you know, I remember this one time, we're almost there, you know, we're about to descend, and this is a plane where it was like 4 hours, and I was done, I was tired, I was very cranky. I'm like, I am ready to be home and get off this plane. I'm done, right? And I just look up into the first class section, and I'm literally seeing a few different gentlemen reclining, and they're sleeping. So I'm just saying, I don't know if you realize this, but you could be on the same plane and have totally different experiences. Did you know this? You could be in the same airport and have totally different experiences. So here, let me show you something in the Bible. I want to kind of end with this big thought, okay? In the Bible, there is a wedding in Cana, a huge event. Many people are there. This is the first recorded miracle that Jesus actually performs in the Bible. And he uses servants. So these are the first servants who served in the first recorded miracle in Scripture. John chapter 2, let me just read it for you, okay? Let me read it for you. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, not the disciples, not people he knew, not himself, right? He said, Jesus, right, said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from. And listen, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Two different experiences, same wedding. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests had too much to drink. That's smart. But you have saved the best till now. But only the servants knew. This is something that many of us read past, but you got to get this. The wedding in Cana, Two different experiences. Only the servants saw the miracle and knew it was a miracle. Everyone else just benefited from it. It tasted good. But only the servants had the behind-the-scenes VIP club experience, a first-class seat to the miracle of God. This is something that's critical because we come to a building and we walk out of this building and we think, it was all right. I mean, it tasted good, right? But then there are others in the building. They might be wearing a home shirt today. There are others in the building who are seeing the miracle happen. They have the behind-the-scenes stories of people. They have the behind-the-scenes experiences, the first-class seat to what God is doing. And you might be sitting here saying, why don't I ever see the miracle? Why don't I ever see God working? It might be because you're not serving, and God has a first-class seat for you. Jesus could have filled the water jars himself. Do you realize that? He could have just looked at the jar and said, hey, everyone, check this out. Nobody move. Jars, be filled. Right? I mean, I don't know if he would have done it that way, but he could have done it. He's God, okay? But he didn't do that. He chose to use servants. He chose to use people. Because with Jesus, it's not a spectacle. It's an invitation to participate with Jesus. So here's the big idea. If you want to see the miracle, be the first to serve. If you want to see the miracle, be the first to serve, because serving allows us to see things through God's eyes, through God's perspective. It gives us that first-class seat to the miracle of God. And let me just tell you, it doesn't mean that serving is going to be really easy and no work at all. These guys had to fill 20 to 30 gallons of water. It's not like they had a hose and a spigot nearby, right? They didn't have a Home Depot. They had to go fill. It took work. It took some time. And it doesn't mean there's not going to be any work involved when it comes to serving. But you will have a first-class seat to the miracle of God. So let me just say this. Serving is less about our needs, and it's so much more about your opportunity. Serving is so much less about need. We do have it, but it's less about that. It's so much more about your opportunity. And if it wasn't for guys and men like Mark Madouse, who decided to say, yeah, I'll serve and hang out with a bunch of crazy high school students, in that case, was trying to put X-lax in punches, you know, and during prayer, I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't be where God has me today. There are so many people like this who have given, who have served. Guys like Mark Sheldon here at our church. He started as a crosswalk guy a few years ago, and now he oversees an informal landscape team, right? He takes care of the grounds. He spends a lot of time working the grounds, making sure that the shrubs and the trees and the things look nice. He does this, and he serves. And he volunteers. He also works on our safety team. People like Tammy Thomas serves as a section host. She served for many years and is faithfully serving in several different special events like Life at Grace and Rooted and even the Nike shoes that we have, and we do the shoes in the fall time and we help our community. She serves in all those things. You may have seen Tammy or Tony Petrie. They have been here for years. And let me just tell you, they are the first people here. They're here before me. I get paid. You get this. Like, they are here before I am, hours. They also go and pick up donuts for the shuttle. You know Tammy because she's always got a smile on her face. And although she's in a wheelchair and she's doing these things, it does not hold her back from serving. It empowers her to reach people. So there are so many different stories. People like Daryl Humphrey. Daryl Humphrey serves on our Hello team and our kids team. This guy's doing two. You see what I'm saying? Daryl's, if you ever met Daryl, Daryl's always smiling. It's kind of scary. He's always greeting. I've never even heard him complain. Can you believe this? He comes and serves on the hello team and then serves on our kids team. He's always willing to say, yeah, wherever you need me, I can jump in. I can help. I love serving. And whenever we even attempt to give him any kind of thanks or gratitude, he tries to stop us. No, don't talk about it. No. We actually had to strategically think about this as a team. How do we celebrate Daryl? He's not going to like it, you know? He's not going to want this, you know? Because he understands the first chair leader as a first chair surrendered person to Jesus. He gets it. He goes, I'm here because of what serving is doing for me and for others. People like Bob Berleman, he feeds 100 people every Monday night. Man, I thought feeding five kids was a lot. 100 people every Monday night. He's a chef and a coffee maker. He truly believes that feeding people, right, starts with a warm hello. That helping people starts with helping them be fed and feel better. And every Monday night, he does this in our CR ministry. There's so many people who are on our prayer team and our meal chain team that jump in and serve. Barbara Fox, Ruth Zur, Elizabeth Kelly, and Roseanne Crawley. I mean, so many different people that do this on a weekly basis, and they're the ones that are walking around going, I've seen the miracle. You're tasting the wine, but they've seen it. They saw what happened. They're in the trenches and they are giving. Serving is less about our need. It's so much more about your opportunity to see what God is doing, to be and join in community with people. So today, we're going to cut a little bit early. We're going to be done. I'm going to pray and we're going to be done. And we're going to give you an opportunity to join a community, to serve, to be more like Jesus than ever before and see the miracle. And we're going to have stations and people you can talk to with the shirt in our lobby and in this building. And we want you to take some time to go sign up. Just do it. Just get involved and find home here. Let me pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for Grace Church. Thank you for the opportunity that we get to serve. God, I pray that today we would make a shift in the way we live for you, that we would be surrendered in chair number one through serving people. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.